So, Father, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. Firstly, Lord, to praise you, to worship you. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you just have your way amongst us today, that when we leave this place, we are not the same as when we came in, because we've been exposed to your presence, Lord, and that we've been exposed to your word. And even as the word goes out, Father, I thank you that it does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all that is said and all that is done here this morning, that the name of Jesus is exalted and glorified. And Father, we say thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good folks. Are we ready to receive here this morning? It's quite interesting, you know, all these testimonies and a lot of the songs and all that's gone on already this morning ties in so well with what the Lord laid on my heart to share with us this morning. I want to start off with a question. Are we a half-empty generation? Or are we a generation of believers that are full? Think about that for a moment. Are we those believers who have our cups running over, as the Word of God says, or are we those believers where it seems as if our cups are leaking? Folks, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be living our lives day in and day out as a lifestyle being content. Let me say that again. We need to live our lives, and our lifestyle has to be a lifestyle of you and I being content because of whose we are. You know, there are many, many Christians that are only filling their cups up with bad things. Believers, but bad things, filling their cups up with fear, filling their cups up with concern. Fear, you know, that I won't have enough. Fear that I'm not going to make it. Fear that I'm not valuable. I'm not important. Fear of the future. Fear of death. This thing of fear goes on and on and on. Fear of loneliness. We should not be experiencing that, folks, at all. Because when we are in that place, what's actually happened is that we have made a decision within ourselves that our significance and our security come from some other place other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. Let me ask us a question. Where do you receive your significance? Where do you and I receive our identity? There is such an identity crisis in the world at the moment. People don't know who they are. But as believers, let me say this, that our identity, your identity, is not in who you think you are. Your identity is not who other people say you are. Your identity and my identity is what the Word of God says about us. That is who we are, what God says about us. Is that true? It really is, folks. So we need to be getting our significance and our identity, and we need to be getting our security from the Lord. And if we are not getting these three things from the Lord, I'll tell you something, there's going to be a bit of a challenge in our lives, because we always walk around and, you know, kind of maybe feeling inferior, maybe feel that we're not fitting in, because we don't know who we are in Christ. The title of my message today is the Lord your shepherd? Question mark. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is your heart and my heart the same as David's heart when David sat down and he wrote Psalm 23? Right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? Is our heart like David's heart? Or is there a huge difference between David's heart towards the Lord and our hearts towards the Lord? We need to ponder these things, folks. Because if David was like that, and God called David a man after my own heart, he should be doing exactly the same for us. So how could somebody like David sit down and write with such contentment, writing Psalm 23, you know, with such security in his heart, at a time when there were no hospitals? Is that true? We would fall apart today, you know, I mean, living in those times. When he wrote this, there were no hospitals. There was no such thing as penicillin, right? Helping people to get well. There were no medical aid schemes. There were no provident and pension funds that people could rely on and trust in. Had to trust in the Lord, folks. So let's now see why David was so content. Now, what I'm going to be doing, we're going to be focusing on Psalm 23 here this morning, right? Now, first of all, I mean, Psalm 23 is short. It's only six verses, huh? But it's very interesting that David reveals seven of the Lord's names in this short psalm. And I'll highlight them as I read through these six verses. And then what we're going to do is kind of unpack Psalm 23 line by line. He starts off, we know it's the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. That is Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that amazing? Already, one of the names of the Lord. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, or the Lord my provider. He makes me lie down. Get this picture here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, we heard about, as Loretta was sharing here this morning, about experiencing that peace. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. He restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Jehovah Tsidkenu, who is the Lord our righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, or the Lord our victor. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Right? Jehovah Mkadesh, the Lord my sanctifier. Then he says, surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? Psalm 23, I mean, we all know Psalm 23. And so let us now just take a few minutes having a deeper look at the psalm. You know, he starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, get the picture that the Lord, God, is your shepherd and he's my shepherd. What is the function of a shepherd? The job of a shepherd is to shield and to guard and to protect. The Lord will shield you. He will guide you. He will protect you if you and I make a decision to receive him as our shepherd. Then he says, I shall not want. In other words, our provision is taken care of. But folks, it's interesting, this thing about provision, because so many people will put up their hands and say, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus, right? But they don't live like believers in Jesus. Just lip service, right? Okay? So our provision is in proportion to our commitment. We need to be honest with ourselves. How committed are we to the King? How committed are we to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because your provision and my provision is directly, there's some correlation in proportion to our provision is in proportion to our commitment to Him. If we say that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is absolutely no commitment. Is the Lord really, responsible to make sure that we are provided for when we just neglect Him? You'll find, folks, in many, just about all of the promises that we see in the Word of God, there is a condition. And this is a big one, right? So, I shall not want. It basically means that we shall experience no lack, right? In terms of our need. I'm not talking about our greed. I'm talking about those things that we actually need. There will be no need in our lives if you and I have this deep, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're not going to be stretched from time to time. Jesus said, you will experience trials and tribulations and difficulties, right? And what's so interesting about this psalm is that this psalm is written in the present tense. I don't know if you've noticed that. Huh? Right? So he starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, the Lord will be my shepherd. In other words, that's in the future, the Lord's going to be my shepherd. Or the Lord was my shepherd, past tense, he used to be my shepherd. No, no, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Just get this picture, how beautiful this is. He leads me beside still waters. So we see, you know, that when we are plugged into the Lord, when we have this deep relationship with the Lord, we see His favor, we see His abundance, we see His blessings poured out upon us. And He promises us, you know, fresh nourishment as we lead our lives, as we go through our lives, in terms of everything that we need. And folks, when I say in terms of everything we need, it's in terms of our physical things, as well as our spiritual things. Those two, they're taken care of. So it must be Jesus leading us. How does He lead us? It's by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Folks, as believers in Jesus, we need to be those who are led by the Spirit of God. Are we? Is the Lord our shepherd? Are we being led by the Spirit of God? He says, still waters. In other words, God wants us to experience His peace. God wants us to experience that tranquility as we go through life, right? This is God's desire for us. You know why it's God's desire for us? You know why? Because He loves you. Not complicated. He just loves us so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. So I'm refreshed. And I'm given this peace and I'm given this assurance. And folks, God wants us to be in a place where we receive this peace, that we walk in this peace. Because this peace, the Bible talks about it, it is a peace that surpasses all understanding. So even in the midst of your storm or your hurricane that you might be in right now, where you might be experiencing trials and tribulations and difficulties, right in the middle of the storm that we are going through, we can experience, and we should experience, a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a big difference between this kind of peace and joy, huh? We experience that peace, folks, okay? He leads me, goes on to say, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So He will give me continual direction. If the Lord is leading us, He's guiding us, He's giving us direction, right? What is He giving us direction for? Righteous living. He leads me on paths of righteousness. Folks, when you and I got born again, according to Scripture, we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a fact. It's a fact. We are the righteousness. You and I, now I keep on saying this, we can't become more righteous. We can become more holy. But you are the righteous or you're not righteous. And according to the Word, we are now righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? So I live for Jesus. You live for Jesus. Why do we live for Jesus? so that we can testify on Him. We can testify about His goodness. Testify. Our lifestyle should be a testimony to other people out there. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we are guaranteed, folks, when we are in the presence of God, even when we're going through tough times, when we're going through difficult times, maybe in that storm that we're going through, right in the middle of that, in those lonely, dark hours, okay? In those valleys, it might be the valley of loneliness. It might be the valley of mourning. It might be the valley of serious sickness. In those valleys, He is with us, never leaving us or forsaking us. And it's quite interesting that David assumes, as you read this, that he would go through these valleys. And if David assumes that he will go through those valleys in life, at some point, we can be assured of the fact that you and I are going to go through some valleys. Amen. Okay. So even when we are in grave physical danger, when we are in grave spiritual danger, right there, the Lord is with us, folks, and He will bring us through. Why? Because it is not by power or might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. He is with us, folks, that we can trust Him, that He will never leave us or forsake us. Now, He goes on to say, for you are with me. God is with us. Do you know that when we get born again, God the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us? Is that true? So He lives in us. So He's with us. The Word says that He's closer than a brother. For you are with me. And folks, if He is with us, we need to know that He's for us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? For you are with me, your rod, get the picture here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the Lord is with us. Now, it's interesting here that, yes, He's comforting us and so on. But folks, what do we use a rod for? What is a rod? Discipline, all right? Discipline, you're right, Faye, yeah. The rod indicates discipline, and then He talks about the rod and the staff. It talks about comfort. And what's interesting, if you look at this, the rod comes before the staff. So, folks, if we submit ourselves to the discipline of the Lord, you and I can be assured that we can live in the comfort that He brings us. So we know that David had a rock-solid commitment to the Lord. Like I said earlier on, even the Lord said, David, and you remember he did some bad stuff, eh? Huh? He did some bad stuff. I mean, after the adultery, and then he had his Bathsheba's husband murdered, and I mean, all of these things. And yet the Lord said about David, he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because David, he just surrendered. Do you remember one of those psalms David wrote, and he didn't want to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And he said he was like burning away. And when eventually he came to the Lord with a humble heart and the right attitude, and he asked the Lord to forgive him, and the Lord forgave him, like He forgives us when we mess up. So let me ask us a question. What would you and I be willing to actually give so that we could experience the same contentment, that we could experience the same security that David had in terms of his relationship with the Lord? What would we be willing to give, right? What would we be willing to do to have that type of relationship that David had? Folks, this is not complicated. You know what we have to do? We just have to make a decision, like David did, that we put our trust in the Lord as our shepherd. And when I say shepherd, we need to get a picture of what the shepherd's responsibility is with the sheep, and that is God's responsibility with us as well. You know, before he became King David, we know that he was a shepherd. And I can tell you right now, if David was standing next to me today, he would say that the responsibility of the shepherd is to look after the sheep. Is that true? To look after the sheep. God's responsibility, he's the good shepherd, is to look after us. Right? They would tell us that. In fact, it's very interesting if you know anything about the history and the area where the shepherds were, that the shepherd's sole responsibility was to look after the sheep and make sure that they remained safe. And in that climate where David actually wrote this, right, without the shepherds, those sheep would die in the wilderness. They wouldn't survive. Wouldn't survive. And so often when we think of a shepherd and sheep, we see like a shepherd trying to, how can I say, usher the sheep. It wasn't like that. As the shepherd moved, the sheep had such trust in the shepherd that the sheep would follow the shepherd. I really believe that if, you know, David was standing here and he was speaking to us today, he would be talking about this thing of contentment. He would say, if you want this contentment and you want the security, you need to know that it comes from having this deep, deep relationship with the Lord. He'd want to encourage us with that. You know, he could actually say the following. We see this, what is written here in the psalm. He could say these things with boldness to us today. He could say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will fear not. How many Christians fear, folks? Huh? We must fear not. Fear not. And if you and I do not trust the Lord as our shepherd, when we go through difficulties, if we go through troubles at work, might be at work, if we go through where our plans, you know, we've got plans all for our lives and these plans are now interrupted. If we have dreams and these dreams are now broken, it might be something to do with relationships where there are bad relationships. But folks, if we do not put our trust in the Lord for those things, it could result in you and I going through some very dark times because we're not dealing with our issues properly. If we do put our trust in the Lord for those, the same things, you know, if there's trouble at work, our plans are messed up somehow, we have incredible plans and you know, the wheels just come off our plans, where we have dreams and these dreams are broken and we relationships. But if we put our trust in the Lord for these things, those things would just become a pause in our journey. They would just be a bleep on the screen. It would be a pause, just these difficult things that we go through, that will enable us to experience the guiding presence of the Lord as we receive Him as our shepherd. Huh? And each experience, when we do it over and over and over again, what happens is that you and I start to trust Him more. We trust Him more. And we put more trust in and more trust in Him. And what happens when we do that, we start to grow spiritually because we put in our trust in the Lord. Okay? We become more and more reliant on Him each and every time we go through some difficulty in our life. Like I said, if David was here today, he would really be encouraging us and saying, the only way to receive this contentment that we see in the Psalm of His, the only way to receive this security is to put our trust in the Lord as our shepherd. Now, it's very interesting. You know, Jesus spoke about, this is what Jesus said in John 10:11. Jesus says, I, Jesus, am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Did Jesus lay his life down for you and me? Folks, Jesus laid his life down and his blood was shed for you and me because of his total commitment to us. Total commitment. Jesus went on to say, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. So get the picture. So here's a shepherd. He's not really a shepherd. He's a hireling. Here's the sheep, and then the wolf comes, and Jesus says, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees. He runs, and the wolf snatches them, and he scatters them. Okay? He flees. Why does he flee? Why does that hireling flee? Well, because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. That's what Jesus said. Folks, I want to say, unfortunately or fortunately, sometimes pastors are referred to as shepherds. And there are pastors that lead congregations that are hireling pastors. When the difficulties come, or when they are finished fleecing the sheep, they're out of there. We need to have our eyes wide open as sheep. Amen? Let that not be us. Jesus says, he flees. Why? Because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Then Jesus says, talking about himself, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. There's a responsibility on the sheep to know the shepherd. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I laid down my life for the sheep. We can be so encouraged, folks, that we are so loved by him. Huh? So God has always been the good shepherd. Always been the good shepherd. And folks, we must trust him instinctively as the sheep trust the shepherd. We need to instinctively trust in the Lord in the same way. Huh? He wants us to make sure that we experience this, that we experience the abundant life that Jesus actually purchased for us. But we need to make sure that we have total trust in him. Okay? And folks, even when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's good to, you know, that we put our trust in the Lord in the good times. But even in the difficult times, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, is this easy to do? I don't think so. It's not easy. You know why? Because we all like to control our situations. We need to remind ourselves that when we got born again, we gave our lives to the Lord. Jesus paid a huge price for you and for me. There's no question about it, right? And we need to remind ourselves of the fact that we no longer belong to us. We now belong to him. If we belong to him, we don't belong to us anymore. But this is not easy because we like control. Is that true? Was it just some of us? Like to control our lives. But folks, let me say this. With constant prayer, us spending time in his presence, us speaking to God and God speaking to us, being in his presence, being in his word, reading the word, studying the word, meditating on the word of God, we can do this. And this is how we do it. We can do it. And when we do those things, we will always come through victorious. Why? Not because of what we have just done, but because of who he is. That's why. Because of who he is. Verse 5 and 6, let me just read them. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We need to be those who are living life with our cup overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, we will be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. There's an eternity that we are ultimately moving into. Is that true? Now, what's interesting here, first of all, he says, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are our enemies? We better know who our enemies are. Okay? The big enemy is the one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Right? Satan and his cohorts. So he is an enemy, but also his evil influence, this world and this world system. Folks, we have to be so careful that we're not sucked into the world and this world system. It's so tempting. Is that right? Another thing, so it's Satan, it's the world system, and even our own sinfulness. Because these are the things that will actually war against God revealing his plans and his purposes for each and every single one of us. Do you think the devil wants you to be in God's perfect plan? can assure you he doesn't. And he will do whatever he can to make sure that you are not. So we want not and we fear not only when we make the decision that the Lord is our shepherd. He needs to be our shepherd, folks, now, in present tense, our shepherd right now, and he needs to be our shepherd in the future as well. And when he is our shepherd, then we're going to be able to, you know, have a revelation of these things that David said, and we are going to be able to say, when the Lord is our shepherd, we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. If the Lord is our shepherd, we are going to be able to say, okay, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it gets down to decision time. This doesn't just happen. As I say, we can be born again, but the Lord is not our shepherd. Is that true? We can be a rebellious sheep. Okay. I'm telling you, it's interesting. When we talk about sheep, you know, Christian and I, you know, as pastors, okay? Do you know that sheep bite? They will bite you. I'm telling you something. You nurture sheep, you turn your back on them, they'll give you a hop on the... Yeah. I know. We've learned. Right? Face the sheep. Okay. Folks, but it's about making decisions. It really is. All right? But so we need to choose, even this morning, choose to hand control over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because like I said earlier on, he purchased us for a price, the huge price, and that was his shed blood. And because of that, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And remember that the word is so clear. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never leave us or forsake us. And the word also says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. 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 So let's just close our eyes for a moment. And this is between you and the Lord.